Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Barbara Eldridge, your host for Trendsetting Women. And with me today is our leading lady, Dorothy Wesley with the Lotus Law Center. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, Barbara.
Our topic of privacy and the changing times is what we're focused to today, and I know you have been knee-deep in that. You know, when the Internet opened our lives to the world and changed everything, certain industries had an effect, were affected by it. So how did you get so knee-deep into this privacy trend that you had to educate people on?
You know, Barbara, I think it was when I was senior vice president and general counsel at DataQuick Information Systems, it was when I got the first call from an attorney in Los Angeles who was calling about a celebrity's name who was in our database. And up until that point, I hadn't even realized that privacy was going to be an issue. And this was about 1984, 85. And we were compiling real estate information at that time, and so at that point it was just in the public records, and we were compiling the public records and starting to put them online. We were the first real estate information company to put them online, and that's when I realized that this was something that was going on. And then pretty soon more and more celebrity attorneys called, and I was amazed at the need they wanted for privacy. But because it's public record, I had to educate them that you can't just change it up. It's there unless you do something to change the title on a property.
So you had to, you kind of saw an opportunity. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think it really moved as we put our information up on the Internet. It was really, you know, back in the 1900s when the Internet first started that we were putting that information on the Internet, and then consumers started calling. So First I had the celebrity calls, then I had the consumer calls saying, take me out of your database. And so people were just then, in the very beginning of the Internet, understanding that indeed their information was being compiled and used. And this was still at that point public record information, which I was amazed and am still amazed today at the lack of knowledge and understanding of the amount of personal information that's in the public records. And it's important for the information flow in business. At the same time, consumers were unaware of it. So that's when I decided that businesses needed to know what to do with people's information. So I put together a consumer response division within DataQuick, and then we put together a privacy council so that we could start addressing the issues. This was on into the early 90s, mid-90s, and then it just grew. You know, it was, talking about it. It's just a sleeping giant that people were not talking about at a very broad level. So by the early 2000s, it was like, I need to go do this. I need to start
really?
My own company and get it done, you know.
So how long did it take to not only get the issue known, but really to generate business from it? I mean, because there had to be that part of it. I mean, just sharing information wasn't enough, or getting people to or educated about it wasn't necessarily enough. So how long did that all take?
That's what my business coach told me, is you can't just be educating people. You must learn that they need to do something with it. You know? So I would say when I left DataQuick and I started my own company called Privacy Solutions, And I would say, and I expected that it was just going to boom. I thought people are really ready for this. And I found it was quite the opposite, that I was indeed much into an education mode. So I would say in building my business, I was so excited. I thought it was going to go by, I'm telling you, by the end of the first year, I'm going, what did I do? What's going on here? Because I certainly expected it was going to pop, and it really took a while. So I would say it took me probably at least 18 months before things really, where people started coming to me and we started getting some clients and we started able to put best practices into place and to help businesses know what they needed to do to protect the information that they had in their possession.
So who were you focused with in terms of the business, you know, generating the business from?
Yeah, well, because I started in the real estate information business with DataQuick, I was well-known in that industry, and so all I did was shift from being with DataQuick and shift and start my company, and so in focusing those, I focused on the industry that I had been a part of, the real estate industry. So I began going to the National Association of Realtors conferences and the MLS conferences, because MLS information is huge, and so I focused on the real estate industry because that's where my 20-year career in corporate America had been before I became an entrepreneur. What an experience that was. What a switch. From corporate executive to entrepreneur, oh boy. There's a story on
that
for sure.
That was a real change for you, I know.
Oh, boy, yes.
In what way? In what way? You know, I mean, we oftentimes think of people that just start up as entrepreneurs, but you did come out of corporate America.
I did.
So how was that for you?
Well, I think the most interesting thing that I can characterize it is when I was in corporate America, it was all about me. I was the senior vice president. I was the general counsel. I was the company attorney. It was all about me, everything I wanted. And when I started my own business, of course, it was, it's not all about me anymore. It's all about them. So there was a shift both internally, business-wise, and a whole different focus that I had to go through, which is probably part of the reason when you come out of corporate America and go and become an entrepreneur, go into your own business like that, that there is that shift. And that does take a little bit of time to understand what it means and how to change your direction and your focus as you move along. Because I think that was probably the most interesting thing for me was, whoa, what a change that was. And it worked.
So,
it worked.
So what you know, what facet of, you know, you're an attorney. So how did, you know, all across the country we have these multiple listing services. How did you work with them considering, you know, you are on the California bar? How does that work?
How that works is I was more of a consultant, a legal consultant, because the only time I concerned myself, I believe in multi-jurisdictional abilities. As a general counsel, I did contracts between Canadians and South Carolinians and, you know, global contracts are all over the world, and so you're not practicing in any particular state. So when, as an attorney, you can only go into court in the states where you are licensed to practice. And that's one of the things I told all my clients, that if we had to go into court, if there was anything that needed to be done, then, of course, we would hire local counsel and we would do that because I'm not licensed to practice in the state of South Carolina. I'm not licensed to practice in the state of Florida. But I would be negotiating contracts between somebody in Florida and somebody in California or somebody in Michigan and somebody in New York, you know, so that's kind of a contractual thing. So that was the difference. It's the contracts, it's the best practices. I worked on websites, which is, of course, global also. So privacy had a lot to do with websites.
I was just going to say, and looking at people's privacy, things that they allow or don't do on their websites, I'm assuming.
Or unaware, yeah. With websites, that's one of the things that we did with Privacy Solutions because but I'm still amazed even today that the lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding of the kind of liability that's resident on a person or a company's website, because most are unaware of the fact that the FTC is constantly going after people. It doesn't hit the headlines So small businesses and big businesses alike are unaware of the kind of protections you should have on your website. You should have always a privacy policy. You should have terms of use. No matter what you do, you should have terms of use. It all changes depending on how much information and interactivity you might have with a consumer. So websites are really important. Disclaimers. There's a lot of people that make claims on websites that they should have a disclaimer, or they're linked up with someone else's site. And, you know, it's amazing still to me that the liability that's lurking on websites is still kind of unknown. So we do those. We do that even at the Lowe's Law Center now.
So I would assume that in order to educate these people, you had to do some speaking engagements and things like that. Did you become known for that, or did you become known for your legal work?
Definitely the speaking was my education tool. Within the real estate industry, I was everywhere speaking on everything, starting, of course, with identity theft, because when I started in 2000, that was kind of my elevator speech. You know how we do our little 90-minute, what is it, 30 seconds?
30 seconds, yeah, 90 minutes, elevator not an elevator.
not in an elevator, yeah. You got only 30 seconds, right? So my 30 seconds, or mine was, have you heard about identity theft? And way back then, in 2000, people went, no, what's that? And that was my lead-in to tell them what I was doing. So identity theft was something I was talking about. I was doing a lot of speaking with Rotary groups and then within the real estate industry, too. And then, of course, I shifted into talking about the listings, the listing exposure explosion, because listings are now, you know, everybody's looking for them on the Internet now. And so the listing explosion, how to protect your listings, how to protect that information. And so I moved within the privacy and within that. So I was speaking at all the conferences all the time. I was on the road. Quite the busy girl for up until 2011, I think, when I finally said, I think I'm slowing down on the traveling now. It's enough of that. I never thought I'd get tired of it. And I did, surprisingly.
And you did, of course.
I did.
But,
yeah,
but
so now
still,
I do. I still go now. I still
right.
I still speak. And now, of course, it's paid speaking. It's been paid speaking for the last 7 or 8 years, which was a shift. In the beginning, of course, I would do it for just an honorarium or for travel and expenses, and then pretty soon I said, you're going to have to pay me to hear me.
Well, you know, I really felt, you know, our title of this show is Trendsetting Women, and you know, this trend, the trending of all of the things that you've been talking about, doesn't sound like a trend. It sounds like something that had to happen, and it's just to have you, and you really were one of the few probably few and far between back then that took this up and ran with it. And where is it taking you now? I mean, you know,
I've shifted.
What
yeah,
has changed
have,
for you?
I have shifted to the next trend because of the proliferation of information, because of the amount of information that's being acquired. Now, the big information now is user-generated content. All the information on Facebook, all of social media, all of that kind of information. So I have been focusing, at least for the last couple, 3 years, on helping folks understand the legal aspects of social media and how to protect yourself and how to walk that social media tightrope between public and private lives, and to help people understand how to do that. Now, because of the proliferation of user-generated content, it's just wild and crazy out there right now. Mm-hmm. So what I've done, I've shifted to a new trend.
Hang on
I think
to
I'm
that.
Ahead of the curve again, Barbara.
Yes, hang on to that a minute. We're gonna take a break for some advertisement here.
Okay.
You are listening to Women Leading the Way Radio, and we'd like to recognize one of our sponsors for Connected Women of Influence. I want to recognize Red Fire Branding, which is Liz Goodgold, who is an international branding coach, an author, and speaker. A little bit about Liz. She's a practicing branding guru, having worked for such major clients as World Trade Centers, Sharp Healthcare, Quaker Oats, Pfizer, and Univision. Liz's talks are the epitome of edutainment, blending information, education, humor, and real-world examples. to reach Liz for speaking engagements or consulting or to buy her book, you can reach Liz at redfirebranding.com. And now back to our show.
Okay, I'm going to ask that question again. So what has changed for you, and where are you now?
Well, the shift that I'm in now from doing best practices and helping people understand what they need to do with regard to privacy because of the proliferation of information is that now I've started the Lotus Law Center. The Lotus Law Center is focused on protecting information. So what you need to know is what you create, whatever you create, and what it is that you write is all intellectual property. And so part of the focus of what I'm doing, in addition to all the privacy and information security stuff that I've been doing for the last 15 years, I add to that now the intellectual property protections. So that whatever it is that you're creating, if it's a database of user-generated content, that is copyrightable. And so now I'm taking the people who have that information and protecting it, because there's so much scraping, you know, there's so much theft of data on the Internet now that people are scraping data and creating businesses out of other people's information. And so now I'm focused on that. So the Lotus Law Center went from being the consultant, I shifted into that, and so now I'm focused on protecting the information. The Lotus Law Center is like the enforcement arm. We write cease and desist letters to people who steal people's information. So that's one of the focuses that we do within the privacy and information security space. On the other side, to me, the trend setting that I'm doing at the Lotus Law Center is that we're focused on low-cost legal services. My 30 years as an attorney, I now feel like I really want to give back after 30 years as a business attorney and business person and having started my own businesses, that I want to support small businesses as they build their foundations. So now I'm telling folks that if you want to build your business, you want to build your legal foundation strong. If you want to sell it, or you want to go public, or you want to just build it into a good company, then you need those strong foundations. Most people think that's the last thing they need as an attorney, when really it's the first thing you need. But in order to do that, what I focus on is making it a cost-effective, thank you, Barbara, cost-effective, what did I used to say, cheap? Barbara says, no, cost-effective. To making it a cost-effective way for small businesses to be able to have an attorney on their team. So I'm kind of pitching, it's like having, I do business coaching from a legal perspective so that you can have your legal ducks in a row as you build your business. So that's the new trend setting on the legal side.
It sounds, you know, you've been dealing with so many large entities with the privacy end of things. This sounds like such a turnaround for you. Is it, you know, why now? It seems like you're starting over again. Why now?
Well, you know, that's what I said to myself, too. Whoa, you know, wait a minute, you just did that, now you're doing this. So I think that I see the need. I think I feel that there's a desire on my part as an elder to give back. I didn't even get out of law school until I was 40, and so I've had a good long career, and I'm at the end of my career and at the end of that point in my life, and so I'm focusing on a whole lot of different things. I don't want to travel so much anymore, so this gives me the ability to help companies here locally. So that's, for me personally, that's what it is. It also gives me the ability to I want to have Lotus lawyers all across the United States. So if anybody in our audience is an attorney out there in the United States that would like to join up with the Lotus Lawyers, I'd love to have people be able to focus on small businesses in different areas. So I think that it's because that's the focus. I feel like I really want to empty my cup at this point in my life to help others, to support young small businesses, and I've got so many, and I'm real excited about helping them and support what they're doing. At the same time, Barbara, it affords me the opportunity to go into another trend-setting direction that I'm moving into, which is talking about bringing death out of the closet, so to speak. Death, yes. And
yes, yes, I know.
Oh, no.
I haven't put that into my list of questions, but please open up, open it up to the world.
Yes. Well, that's I spoke on it this weekend, and it's just something, you know, that's it's my longstanding concern for helping people at the end of their life from a legal perspective, from a moral perspective, from an ethical perspective, and the legal part of it, of course, is we do a lot of end care documents for folks, you know, with their will and their health care directive and all that, and it's counseling about those things. So you just don't do those things, you know. You make it's making those hard decisions.
I've heard of things called death cafes. Is that part of the trend that's opening up? Is that what you're
referring to? That is indeed.
The
death cafes, it's deathcafes.com if anybody's interested. They're bringing death. There's 200, death out of the closet too. There's 200 cafes right now in 9 different countries. It just started. I found out that there's one in San Diego that started down at Casa de Luz. I haven't talked to too many people about it yet, but I want to. And it's just a place where you come to kind of air your fears or talk about what that is. You know, what does that mean for you? Or you know, because I think getting rid of the fear is what the important thing is. And Deepak Chopra and Marilyn Schlitz, I think, yes, Marilyn Schlitz are coming out with a movie called Death Makes Life Possible, which is going to be out to the general public in the next couple of years, 2014 or 2015. So that's something I want to help people with, and I can do it both from a legal perspective and from a knowledge perspective as far as helping people in that in end times.
Okay, I'm going to shift back to the Lotus Law Center. You've worked with some of the small business owners. What do you see as their biggest challenges? I mean, and you know, privacy is a part of it, but I'm sure most of them don't want to focus on that right off the bat. So,
right.
So
well, no,
what do you see are their biggest issues?
I think the biggest issues is people do not know what they do not know. Huh? That's a normal thing, I think, in life. And when you come and talk to me, we sit down and we talk about what your business is and what you want to do. And because of my life experience, I find that there's many things that I can point to that we need to do. Particularly organization, you know, a lot of small businesses are visionaries, are people who have a great idea but don't know how to ground it. And that's something I feel that I have the ability to do is, okay, we got to do this first, then we do this, we could talk about how we want to incorporate. You need to do a joint venture here. You need to, you know, if you're going to work with these people, you got to have an agreement. You know, these kind of things are the kinds of things I think that I find small businesses are unaware of. They see the end. They're very visionary, but they don't know how to ground it. And so I think that's what I have the ability. That's what the Lotus Law Firm does for folks is give them the ability to ground whatever that is, whatever it is that they want to do, whether it's obtaining a lease because reading retail leases is just not fun, you know, and it's something we do.
People get very caught up in and then find themselves in trouble. Yes, I understand that.
That's one of the most wonderful things that we have for folks, too, is I've got an unbelievable rate for contract review because I charge like $20 for the first page and $10 for every page after that and then an $85 consultation fee.
Just reading it? Reviewing
just
it
reading
at $20?
It, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, $20 a page. $20 for the first page, 10 page for every page after that, and an $85 consultation fee. And in that time, I'd say good, bad, or ugly, you know.
Uh-huh.
You can't do what I'd do is I'd read it and I'd have knowledge of it. And then if there was something more that needed to be done, if we needed to negotiate or we needed to do something else, then I would quote a flat rate for that. So the people would know this is going to cost $1,000 or it's going to cost $1,500 or it's going to cost $200 or whatever that is, whatever the time I see that it would involve to do that, take it to the next level. So this to me is something that's so supportive of small businesses, and I think the answer to your question is really that it's just that you don't know. You need to sit down with someone who has like an analytical mind and can and point you in the direction of the kind of things that need to be done step by step by step.
I've read all of your bio and things, and I guess I'm curious. I'm assuming that this idea of the mindful approach to the legal world. Is that what you're referring to here?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that is part and parcel of what our Lotus Law Firm is about. When I talk to people, it's like my new elevator speeches. Do you know what a holistic lawyer is? And people are like, what? So that gives me an opportunity to kind of tell them what we do, that we're about communication and collaboration and cooperation. These are the important things within the law now. This is the way to do business, is this way. When it gets adversarial, it costs so much money. So it's so much better to address those kind of things and address those issues early on within any kind of relationship and whoever anybody's doing business with, you know, the partnerships or corporations or whatever it is.
Wow. When I chose you to be my first trend-setting woman in this show, you know, I hadn't looked at everything and realized, although I've known you for a lot of years, the segments of the different trends that you really have brought to the surface for people, Dorothy. I just want to commend you for, you know, recognizing those things and being on the cutting edge. What else is ahead for you? You know, I know you have different facets of you that we haven't even barely touched on, you're still moving into. You're writing.
I am.
And you have a daily oracle that you put out there certainly addresses so many other things for you. So anything?
That other company that I've created, so not that I have another company. Yes, I do. It's called the Rise Center, RYS. Is for Revive Your Spirit, the Rise Center, and that's where I'm focusing on kind of a non-religious spiritual approach to a lot of different things to help people understand what's going on with so many things out there in the world. And that's something that I'm doing in addition to the legal thing. I wrote a chapter in a book called 27 Flavors of Fulfillment, and it's on Amazon. It's How to Live a Fulfilling Life, 27 Flavors of Fulfillment, 27 different authors. It's kind of a modern-day chicken soup for the soul book. And my chapter is called Discovering and Expressing Your True Authentic Self. And in the process of writing that chapter, Barbara, I was amazed with what I just felt like as an elder woman in my time in life, that I really, a whole book is coming out of that now. So I've outlined a whole new book that I'm working on right now called How to Be You. And it's just all about being authentic and being yourself, finding out who you are and how to be, and to stop being affected by everybody and being who you truly are and getting rid of the conditioning. And it's really, I'm really, really excited to write it. I've begun it, and that's a start, and that's I got to fit that in there, too. But I think it's a new trend.
Too.
I think that's a new trend, too.
Wow. Wow. Well, I would certainly like to let people know where they can reach you.
Okay.
It's the lotuslawcenter.com, I assume?
It is, lotuslawcenter.com. My email address is Dorothy, Darity, at lotuslawcenter.com. If you're interested in hearing about the Daily Oracle, you can look at reviveyourspirit.org. I'm working on that website right now, but at least you can see the oracle if you go there. So many
Excellent.
Irons in the fire.
So many irons in the fire.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, so what can you leave us with? What should we all be aware of at this point?
Well, I think it's important to follow your dreams. To not follow your dreams is a disaster, in my opinion, no matter what it is. I had a woman email me this morning who said, I have to make a decision. And, you know, you do. You have to follow your intuition on your decisions and to have no regrets. So I think you have to follow your dreams. That's my best advice. Step out, do it, face the fear, and do it anyway.
which you certainly have done.
Indeed.
And I so appreciate you you sharing and opening up to all of us all the different aspects that you have touched on, and just want everyone to know that there are opportunities out there still, and new things coming up, and they need to take those steps to do it. So without further ado, we will talk to everyone next time. Thank you, Dorothy, for being here.
And, thank you, Barbara.
That's our show for the day. Have a million-dollar day.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.